سخنران امشب جلسه تهران AA که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلیای گمنام در تهران است، با هوشیاری 40 سال از کشور امریکا می باشد. موضوع تاریخچه الکلی های گمنام می باشد و خانم هما مترجم هستند. از ایشون دعوت می کنیم صحبت های خودشون رو شروع کنند. ضمن جلسه امشب در سایت تهران aa.org ذخیره خواهد شد. بفرمایید، جلسه در اختیار شماست.
Salam, Homo Alkoli, Kheri Mamnoon. Hi, Bob. Ready to go? Let's rock and roll, baby.
Let's rock and roll, baby.
Yeah.
I'm Bob and I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here in Tehran this evening with you. It's morning here in sunny California. That's not so funny today. Sunny today.
میگن که سلام کردن، خوشحالن که اینجا هستن و گفتن الان کالیفرنیا صبح و هوا خیلی آفتابی نیست. Go ahead, darling.
This is my third meeting with you in the last week, a little over a week. I shared my experience, strength, and hope last Saturday and was asked to come back and share my experience with the early history in AA. I am not an expert. I don't speak for AA, but I have studied the history. I love the history. And back to you, Homa.
Thank you. میگن که من تو این یک هفته آخر سه بار اینجا اومدم و خیلی خوشحالم از این موضوع. میگن که من تاریخچه AA استادی درس خوندم یا مطالعه کردم، ولی من خبره نیستم توی این موضوع، ولی خوشحالم که بین شما هستم و گفتی شب داستان خودم رو گفتم، امشبم تاریخچه AA رو ادامه میدیم. Go ahead, Bob.
So yesterday I introduced you to four gentlemen from East Dorset, Vermont. These gentlemen all knew each other. They ended up in New York at different times following their careers, and they all became alcoholic.
میگن که دیشب من در مورد چهار تا آقا که در نیویورک بودن و اینا در مورد اونا با شما صحبت کردم که اینا هر چهار تا الکلی بودن و الکلی شدن. اوکی.
I explained to you yesterday how one of them, Roland Hazard, went to Switzerland to study for a year under Dr. Carl Jung because he was a hopeless alcoholic.
What was his name again?
Roland Hazard.
Yeah, آقای رولاند هازارد یکی از اینا بود که رفت سوئیس که زیر دست کارل یونگ درس بخونه. He went to study under Carl Jung.
He went to try to find a way to get sober because he was dying of alcoholism.
داشت از الکلیسم میبادی، الکلیسم و الکلی بودنش میمرد. رفت پیش کارل یونگ در سوئیس که بتونه علاج پیدا کنه. اوکی.
He was from a wealthy family who could afford to send him there. And the reason we bring that up is he came back eventually with a direction from Carl Jung to find the Oxford groups in New York.
Okay. میگن که از خانواده متمولی بود و خانواده‌اش تونست خرجش رو بدن که بره سوئیس، از آمریکا بره سوئیس و کارل یونگ بهش پیشنهاد کرد که وقتی برگشتی نیویورک گروه آکسفورد رو پیدا کن و به اونا ملحق شد. اوکی.
The Oxford groups, as I said yesterday, were groups of people that had found a way through spiritual growth to fight that urge to pick up a drink, that thing that we know is an allergy to alcohol, the compulsion to drink when we think of it.
میگه گروه آکسفورد. You said the Oxford group were a group of people, right? Is that what you said?
All men. Unfortunately, they excluded women, men of color. They were okay. Very exclusive to white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, unfortunately.
Hang on. میگه گروه آکسفورد فقط مردای سفیدپوست رو راه میداد، نه سیاه رو راه میداد، نه زنا رو، و اینا از طریق یه گروهی بودن که از روحانیت و مسیحیت در واقع استفاده میکردن که مشروب نخورن. اوکی.
So I don't want to rehash all of that from yesterday, but
Thanks.
they'd found a way to help men with many maladies. They really didn't like alcoholics, but if you knew somebody that knew somebody, they would take you in. They thought we were messy.
Okay. گروه آکسفورد اصلا واقعا الکلیا رو دوست نداشت و اگر یکی رو میشناختی که کسی معرفیت میکرد اجازه میدادن وارد گروهش بشه و بیشتر تمرکزشون رو مردای سفیدپوست بود و آمریکایی و اینا به خاطر چیزای دیگه دور هم جمع میشدن نه صرفا که الکلی باشه. اوکی.
So eventually we find that Ebby Thatcher, who was Bill Wilson's sponsor into the Oxford groups, went to Bill, talked to Bill, got Bill involved in that. The Oxford groups had, they didn't call them steps, they called them tenants of the Oxford group. And
right.
Bill Wilson was with the help of a father, Ed Dowling, and a preacher named Sam Shoemaker, created them into the 12 steps we know today. I will read them when you finish that.
Okay. توی آکسفورد گروپ اینا قدم نداشتن. یه چیزی داشتن به نام تنتس. تنتس نمیدونم به فارسی چی میشه. ولی اینا یک الگویی داشتن که از این الگو پدر اد پدر روحانی یعنی مثل کشیش و یه آقای دیگه سم شوماکر اینا اومدن و از این الگویی که آکسفورد گروپ داشت قدم ها رو درست کردن. So you're telling me that Dr. Schumacher and Father
Ed Dowling, yes.
Ed Dowling, right.
They helped Bill Wilson a couple years later when he broke from the Oxford group, formulate these six tenets that I'm going to read to you into what we know as the 12 steps today.
Okay, honey, you need to go a little bit slower so I can translate and remember
okay,
everything.
Dear.
Thank you.
You're doing very well, though.
Thanks. میگن که از این Oxford group شیشتا فلسفه داشت که دو سال بیل ویلسون بعد از دو سال از این گروه خودشو فاصله گیره و اومد بیرون و از این شیشتا مرحله که این آکسفورد گروپ داشت یا الگو داشتن بیل ویلسون شروع کرد قدم ها رو الان یکی یکی از این شیشتا فلسفه رو الان برای ما میگه و من ترجمه میکنم. Okay, go ahead. You're going to tell me the six tenets.
I'm going to, and they're not called the steps and they're not numbered. They just have dots in front of them.
Okay.
The first one is a complete deflation. You could look up the definition of deflation.
Know what deflation is?
You do. Yes, you
yes,
can
sir.
Explain that.
A complete deflation of what?
Of whatever, a complete deflation of the ego, of the pride, a surrender. We're trying to find humility here in this first tenet.
Okay, میگن که اولیش این بود که بهترین توجیهش تسلیم واقعی از ایگو یعنی نفس از خودمحوری خودپسندی pride is غرور تکبر و تسلیم خیلی شدید و با فروتنی کامل. Okay. What's the next one?
Dependence on God. And you must understand these men were probably godless when they got sober, but they all returned to their family's Christian faith. They were all Christians, so God to them was the Christian God. Of course, Bill changed all that.
اوکی اینا این گروه آکسفورد همه مسیحی بودن و اه اه این فلسفه دومش این بود که فقط به خداوند تکیه کنم و خداشون عیسی مسیح بود، ولی بیلروسان خودش جدا کرد از این مسئله. اوکی، what's next؟
And I might just add, as an aside to that, do you remember Sandy Beach, the amazing speaker? Have you heard his tapes?
No, Omar? Not really. No, I haven't.
I was struggling with what God could be in early sobriety. And Sandy, I heard on his second step CD, him say, you know, if God is small enough for me to understand God, he's probably not going to be big enough to do me any good.
Oh, can I translate that? میگن که اینجا حاشیه دارم. یه نفر به نام ساندی بیچ در مورد قدم دوم صحبت کرد که اگر خدای من خدای کوچیکی باشه کمکی به من نمیتونه بکنه. پس من خدای کوچیک نمیخوام. من به یه خدای بزرگ احتیاج دارم. Okay, next, what's the next tenet?
That was a big wow for me, Oma, because in that moment, I realized that God, whatever God was, did not build me with a big enough brain to conceptualize God.
میگه من متوجه شدم، خودشو میگه که خداوند همچین مغز خیلی بزرگی به من نداد که من بتونم خدا رو تجسم کنم و ایشون خدا رو خیلی کوچیک میدیدم و کوچیک فکر میرن خدا خیلی کوچیک ناچیزه. و ساندی بیچ هم در مورد این صحبت میکرد در قدم دو که خدای خیلی کوچیک و ناچیز و ناتوان نیست، یعنی دید خودشو نسبت به خدا داره میگه. اوکی، what's next؟
The third tenet is
okay.
very similar to our fourth step.
Okay. میگن
it
که
is a moral inventory. They're okay. very brief in their words. Bill expanded on this.
اوکی، میگه مرحله سوم آکسفورد گروپ این بود که ترازنامه بنویسیم و گفتش که ترازنامه اینا خیلی کوچیک، کوتاه بود و مختصر بود، ولی بیل ویلسون اومد اینو گشایش داد، قدم چهارو. اوکی،
so what we know as the hidden fourth column in our fourth step on page 67 is basically setting aside what others had done to us, we resolutely look for our part in things. Where had we been at fault?
میگن که توی کتاب بزرگ جدول داره برای قدم چهارم، نوشتن قدم چهارم، میگه اون آخرین ستونش و که صفحه 67 کتاب بیگ بوکه، کتاب بزرگه. What did you say is the fourth column, the last column?
Setting aside what others had done to us, we resolutely look for our part in things. Where had we been at fault? Page 67.
Thanks. میگه ما اصلا تمام چیزایی که کارایی که بهم شده، ظلمایی که بهم شده، هر چی که به ما شده، همه رو میذاریم کنار و سهم خودمون رو میبینیم. که من اینجا مسئولیت من چی بوده؟ سهم من چی بوده؟ نقش من چی بوده؟ صفحه 67 کتاب بزرگ. Okay, honey, thank you.
The fourth tenet,
okay,
like our fifth step, is confession. We tell somebody else, a minister, a priest, a rabbi, we tell someone, our sponsor, the nature of our wrongs.
میگه آخرین فلسفه اکسفورد گروپ اعترافه، که اعترافه، چون اینا میرفتن پیش کیش تو فرقه کاتولیک، مردم میرفتن و اعتراف میکردن به کشیش گناهانشون و اشتباهاتشون و خطاهاشون. میگه ولی ما توی AA اینو برای راهنما میخونیم یا برای یه دوست عزیزی یا برای خود ما میتونیم انتخاب کنیم برای یه کشیش بخونیم یا یه آدم متدین بخونیم، ولی کلن در اکولیا گمنام برای راهنما میخونیم. اوکی باب، گو اهد.
And the fifth tenet is restitution, which is like our steps 8 and 9. We
right.
made a list of people we'd harmed and became
and
willing
became
to make amends to them all.
Right. میگه که آخرین فلسفه آکسفورد گروپ جبران خسارت بود که ما میایم تو قدم 89 و هم کسایی که باید بهشون جبران کنیم می نویسیم، هم این که مشغول میشیم به جبران خسارت تو قدم 89. و so this was only there had only 5 tenets or 6 tenets.
We have 6 and one is very important. The last tenet, OMA, is continued work with others. And Bill expanded on that and turned it into 3 parts. And of course, our 12 step says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these first 11 steps, it's assuming that we had a spiritual awakening. We carry this message to alcoholics. And the third part of that is we practice these principles in all of our affairs.
خب میگه که آخرین چیزی که آکسفورد گروپ داشت، ششمین مرحله که داشتن اینا، که شش تا قدم داشتن آکسفورد گروپ، اینه که شما بیاین و بازم جبران خسارته، یعنی که من با در بهبودی با نحوه زندگی کردن و برخوردم دارم جبران خسارت هامو عمل کرد داره و تو رفتارم و تو کردارم هست. میگه ببخشید تلفنم از زنگ میزنه، میگه که بیل ویلسون اومد اینو کرد 3 تا قطعه که در واقع قدم 10 و 11 و 12 است، 3 قطعهش کرد این آخرین مرحله آکسفورد گروپ. اوکی گو اهد.
So those two gentlemen that we mentioned earlier, Dowling and Shoemaker, were the ones that helped Bill expand those steps into 12 from 6. I don't want to bore Arash and some of the people that were here yesterday with all of what I talked about yesterday. I'm just going to briefly mention that Bill, through the benevolence of his brother-in-law, Lois's brother, who was a doctor, Bill's brother-in-law paid for his stay 3 times in Town Hospital in New York. And Town Hospital was the only place available if you had the money to get treatment for alcoholism.
Okay, well, if Arash doesn't want to listen to this, he wouldn't have come, so I think he's interested. میگن که من کلی از این حرفا رو دیشب زدم، نمیخوام آرش مثلث سر بره. منم بهش گفتم اگه آرش نمیخواست بشنوه نمیومد. میگه که okay, you need to help me out here. The guy you said that helped Bill Wilson create the steps. What was it? Father Ed? Who was it?
It was Father Ed Dowling, Dowling.
Okay. میگن که یه پدر روحانی بود به نام اد داولینگ که این به بیل ویلسون کمک کرد که 12 قدمو پیاده کنه.
And pastor.
Pastor Sam Shoemaker. Va yeki shije dige be name Sam Shoemaker. Ino komak kardam
be. Just like it sounds, a shoe and a maker.
Why do you keep interrupting me? I'm trying to translate.
I'm sorry, darling.
Pedar ye do ta pedar rohani budan, yeki Father Ed Downing, dovomish Sam Shoemaker, ke ina komak kardam be Bill Wilson ke paye 12 qadamo berise. و برادر لوئس، زن بیل ویلسون، برادر زنش 3 بار بیل ویلسون رو خوابوند تو بیمارستان که برای ترک الکل. اوکی، سوری ابات دات، گو اهد.
My fault. So I don't know, I want to get to what we did not speak about yesterday. So just briefly, I'll try to be brief. Bill went to Town Hospital and he had a spiritual experience that was a wow moment for him while under the treatment of William Silkworth, the Dr. William Silkworth,
right,
who ran Town Hospital for Mr. Town.
Okay.
So go ahead.
میگه که وقتی که بیل ویلسون تو بیمارستان بود، یک بیداری روحانی براش اتفاق افتاد. و اونم از طریق دکتر سیلکورث بود. دکتر سیل What did Dr. Silkworth do that Bill had a spiritual awakening?
Well, if you look at the book Alcoholics Anonymous, before Bill's story in chapter one, the letter from a doctor is the letters from Dr. William Silkworth introducing, writing the intro into the book Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right, right.
He was a wonderful man who had no, he knew scientifically how to help the people and to explain alcoholism, but he didn't have that spiritual component. And now Bill was coming with that.
میگه که وقتی که بیل ویلسون بیمارستان بود، دکتر سیلکورث که توی اوایل کتاب بیگ بوک نامه نوشته، میگه دکتر سیلکورث از لحاظ پژوهشی و علمی با بلد نبود با بیماری الکالیزم برخورد کرد، ولی از لحاظ سمت روحانیش هیچی نمیدونست، فقط از لحاظ علمی در مورد بیماری الکالیزم دانش داشت. ولی بیل ویلسون در حال ازش کمک کرد به بیل ویلسون و برای بیل ویلسون یه بیداری روحانی اتفاق افتاد در مورد بیماری الکالیزم. اوکی، گو اهد.
Dr. Silkworth gave Bill permission to talk to other hopeless alcoholics in the hospital and explain to them how he had found a higher power and had found sobriety. He's just days sober, and the problem was he was talking about his white light spiritual experience, and none of them had ever had one of those.
Can I translate before you go on? میگه که دکتر سیلکورث تو بیمارستان به بیل ویلسون اجازه داد که با الکلی‌های دیگه صحبت کنه و بیل ویلسون در مورد بیداری روحانی که تو همون تازه پاک شده بود، دو سه روز، یه هفته شاید، و در مورد بیداری روحانی خودش با الکلی‌های دیگه که تو بیمارستان دکتر سیلکورث بودن صحبت کنه. اوکی.
So Bill was not having any success with that, and Dr. Silkworth, he asked Dr. Silkworth, he was getting discouraged, and Dr. Silkworth said, nobody else has had a white light experience like you had, Bill. They don't relate. Talk about how you drank. Talk about the devastation in your family. Talk about the discouragement.
میگه که بیل ویلسون نور دید و این بیداری روحانی براش تو بیمارستان اتفاق. میگه بیل ویلسون به دکتر سیلکورث شکایت کرد که من با هر کی حرف میزنم فایده ای نداره، و دکتر سیلکورث برگشت به بیل ویلسون گفتش که تو نمیخواد در مورد نوری که دیدی و بیداری روحانی که داشتید و داشت پیدا کردی صحبت کنی، تو در مورد مشروب خوردن و اعتیادت با این بیمارای دیگه که تو بیمارستان هستن صحبت کن. Okay.
So Bill had found the secret sauce, as I called it. The secret sauce, you can't find the secret sauce just blowing through meetings. The only way you get to experience the secret sauce is by helping God's kids.
میگن که یه سس هست، این یه اصطلاح شوخیه. میگن که شما نمیتونین با رفتن جلسه و He said by going to meetings. میگن با رفتن جلسه و اینا به دیگران کمک کن. میگه شما باید خدمت کنین به اولاد خداوند. So I didn't understand. You said the secret sauce is that you don't what? Can you repeat what you just said, please?
You don't get to experience the secret sauce like McDonald's talks about. The secret sauce can only be found in your brain with joy for helping other people, for helping God's kids.
میگه که شادی فقط زمانی اتفاق میفته که شما دارین به یک الکلی دیگه کمک میکنین و به نه فقط اینکه برین تو جلسه بشینین، باید به الکلی دیگه و فرزندان دیگه خداوند کمک کنین. اوکی.
So now we move forward into areas I didn't talk about yesterday.
Okay. Just give me time to translate. Go, don't go too fast, darling. I love you. Okay.
Tell them that we're going to move forward. Those who were with me yesterday, we're going to go on and talk about the rest of the story.
میگن که من دیگه خیلی از حرفایی که دیشب گفتم تکرار نمی کنم، دارم میرم یه سمت دیگه الان. Okay, I'm ready.
Thank you, my dear. So Bill had no visible means of support. He'd been unemployable for years. They were depending on his wife's meager income working for a department store.
میگه که بیل ویلسون آه در بساط نداشت، یعنی اصلا پول نداشت و خیلی فقیر بود و این حقوقی که زنش میگرفت یه حقوق خیلی ناچیز میگرفت لوئیس و با این داشتن زندگی میکرد. اوکی.
Mr. Town, who owned the hospital, was so impressed with Bill's work, he offered him a whole ward in the hospital and a handsome salary to come in and run his movement through the hospital.
Okay. بیمارستانی که دو ویل ویلسون توش بود، اسمش بود تاون هاسپیتال، یعنی بیمارستان شهر. و آقای تاون که صاحب این بیمارستان بود، یه طبقه میده به اختصاص بیل ویلسون و شروع میکنه بهش حقوق دادن، پول دادن که شروع کنه به الکلیا کمک کنه و یک دونه طبقه بیمارستان کامل در اختیار بیل ویلسون گذاشته بود. اوکی.
So Bill was very excited about that, and he went back to his group of new sober drunks that were under his care in the meetings. They were still within the Oxford groups then, and he told them about it with great joy, and none of them smiled, and none of them seemed happy.
میگه که بیل ویلسون هنوز مشغول بود تو گروه آکسفورد و رفت به اون چند نفری که پاک شده بودن و الکلی بودن این خبر رو داد و خیلی شاد بود که دکتر تاون یه طبقه بیمارستان، یعنی صاحب بیمارستان یه طبقه بیمارستان بهش داده که شروع کنه به الکلی های دیگه کمک کردن. میگه اون الکلی های دیگه براش خوشحال نبودن. اوکی. و حسودی کردن. خب. اوکی.
So they had a group conscience, as we know as a business meeting.
Yes.
And they told Bill, and it's always the wise, quiet voice, the minority opinion in a business meeting that has the spiritual solution. And they told Bill, you cannot monetize this. This has to be for fun and for free, or it will not have the effect.
خیلی قشنگ بود. میگه اون الکلی هایی که باش موافقت نکردن، حسودی نکردن، من اشتباه کردم. میگه اونا برگشتن، اون اولین باری بود که وجدان گروه داشت اتفاق میافتاد که اونا برگشتن بهش گفتن که بیل تو برای این کار نمیتونی پول بگیری، اینو نباید پول بیاد وسط. اوکی. گو اهد.
سو بیل chest fallen because Bill did have an ego. He accepted that and he turned down that job. And somehow they managed to get together a family that he helped, one of their family members gave them a house to live in and continue work with alcoholics, and the wives would meet in a different room. And that place is called the Stepping Step.
میگه که بیل ویلسون این پیشنهاد دکتر تاون که میخواست طبقه بیمارستان رو بهش بده رد کرد. So who gave them the house?
Some benevolent couple who had a home in New York.
Okay.
They donated the house. Today, if you Google it, it's called Stepping Stones. It's a museum now.
Okay. میگه که یه زن و شوهر خیلی خیرخواه، خلاصه بیل ویلسون این کار رو قبول نمی کنه تو بیمارستان، و یه زن و شوهری که خیلی خیرخواه بودن یه خونه مجانی در اختیار اینا بچه ها میذارن، بیل ویلسون میذارن که از اون تو شروع کنن کار کردن. و میگه که الکلی ها یه جا جمع می شدن تو خونه و همسرای اینا هم توی یه اتاق دیگه جمع می شدن که جلسه داشته باشن. یعنی هم AA شروع شد تو اون خونه هم الان. اوکی
So the wives would go with Lois Wilson into another room and talk about what eventually would be Al-Anon. And go ahead. And the AAs would go into a larger room and have an AA meeting. This is before AA, but it was a meeting.
So you said, I just said that, that kid.
Okay, we can go on. That's okay.
Okay.
So now Bill has been offered another job. He just felt that they were so poor that he was used to being in Wall Street and the business community in New York. That's
so
what
hang
he.
Hang on for a second. Hang on. میگه اون خونه الان شده موزه به نام استپینگ استون تو نیویورک و بیل ویلسون و زنش خیلی فقیر بودن و تصمیم میگیره که بیل کار پیدا کنه. اوکی سو هی میخواست بره تو کار ارز، تو ارز و پول و خرید و فروش ارز و اینا و بیل ویلسون دنبال کار گشت تو نیویورک. So he found a job in the finance department section in New York, right?
He was offered an opportunity to go to Akron, Ohio to interview for a job restructuring a manufacturing company there.
Oh, قبل از اینکه این کارو بکنه به ویلسون پیشنهاد دادن که بره ایالت اوهایو تو اکرون که اونجا مصاحبه کنه برای اینکه to start what kind of a job. I'm sorry I missed it.
He's restructuring a manufacturing company.
فرست که بره مصاحبه کنه که یه دونه شرکت و یه کارخونه رو از اول بازسازی کنه و ترمیم کنه حالا هر مشکلی اون شرکت داشت. اوکی
So he took the train to Akron, Ohio. And he checked into the Mayflower Hotel.
میگه رفت با قطار از نیویورک رفت ایالت اوهایو و رفت تو هتل میفلاور. میفلاور اسم یک کشتیه که در قرن 15 و 16 اولین مهاجران از انگلستان اومدن به مرز آمریکا و اسم میفلاور اینه. اوکی and then what happened?
And then he went for his interview, and his interview didn't go well.
Oh.
And he didn't get the job. And he went back to the Mayflower Hotel, very depressed.
میگه که بیل ویلسون رفت مصاحبه برای کار برای این کارخونه و مصاحبهش خوب نبود و استخدامش نکردن و حالش بد شد و برگشت تو هتل Mayflower. Okay.
He barely had enough money to catch the train the next day back to New York. He was walking. Go ahead, you can say that.
میگه اصلا پول تو جیبش نبود، انقدر پرکر شده بود، حتی پول تو جیبش نبود که سوار قطار بشه برگرده نیویورک از اوهایو. اوکی.
He was walking back and forth in the lobby, very upset, and couldn't get a hold of his wife Lois, and he heard the tinkling of the glasses in the bar that was off the lobby of the hotel.
میگه که خیلی حالش بد بود توی لابی هتل، یعنی لابی میشه اون جای عمومی هتل طبقه هم ببینید اگر پیام اینجا ندید حواس من پرت میشه تو رو خدا. میگه که توی این لابی راه رفت لویس هم نمیتونست پیدا کنه چون پول نداشت سوار قطار بشه برگرده نیویورک. یه ها شنید تو لابی هتل یه گوشه باره و صدای یخ میاد و گلاسای مشروب و که این به اون سلام میده صدای یخ میاد و چی و چی و so he goes that way و میره به سمت اون به سمت بار. Right Bob?
Right. Whatever you say, Homa, I can't understand you.
So he hears the tinkling of the ice and the glasses, and he goes towards it, right?
So he's walking back and forth, and every time he walks past that door into the saloon, he's getting thirsty. And his magic magnifying mind is telling him maybe a couple drinks will take the edge off. No one will know.
میگه که صدای گیلاسای مشروب و صدای یخ اینا شروع کرد قلقلک دادنش و هی توی این راهروی هتل هی بالا پایین راه میرفت میومد و به خودش گفتش که شاید اگه برم یه دو تا درینک بخورم دو گلاس مشروب بخورم این خشم و این استرابو از من بگیره و هیچ کسم نمیفهمه. اوکی.
So you'll know what a nickel is, 5 cents?
Yes, sir.
You'll have to explain that. Bill had 10 nickels in his pocket, and he was absolutely gagging, thinking of drinking. But he knew the only solution was if he could find someone to talk to that was an alcoholic that he could help. So there was a payphone in the lobby, and he walked towards the payphone with his 10 nickels.
توی آمریکا به 5 سنتی میگن نیکل. نیکل یه اسمیه برای یه نوع مس، یه نوع. میگه 10 تا نیکل، یعنی 10 تا 5 سنتی تو جیبش بود که میشه 50 سنت، و رفت به سمت تلفن که به یکی زنگ بزنه که هر داراییشو 50 سنت، یعنی مثل دوزار، یعنی اصلا پول نه پولی نبود که، فقط بخواست یه تلفن بکنه به کسی، کسی رو پیدا کنه. So he went to use the phone to call someone, and then what happened?
He went in the payphone and he started putting his nickels. He looked at the what we know is an old phone directory under churches, and he started calling church ministers to see if they knew anybody in their parish, in their group, that was having a problem with alcohol that he could talk to.
خلاصه توی اون قدیما تلفن ها دفتر تلفن داشتن بغلشون. این شروع کرد بیربولسون به همه کلیساها زنگ زدن که ببینه آیا توی گروه کلیسا یک الکلی وجود داره که بتونه پیدا کنه که بیان بهش کمک کنن که به دادش برسن. اوکی.
So he was getting a little discouraged. He'd used 8 of his nickels and nobody knew of anyone. But on the 9th nickel, he got a hold of a minister who knew of a woman who knew of a friend of hers who had a husband that was a hopeless alcoholic.
Okay. خلاصه میگه از این 10 تا 5 سنتی که داشت 8ش استفاده کرده بود، یعنی هر تلفنی که کرده بود یه دونه 5 سنتی بود، گفت نهمین 5 سنتیشو که انداخت تو تلفن بهش گفتن که یه خانمی هست که یه دوستی داره که شوهرش الکلیه. So this lady who knew somebody who was an alcoholic. What happened then?
So the pastor called the lady and she agreed to call the woman. Her name was Ann Smith. Dr. Okay. Bob's wife, and I get chills when I tell this story.
Wow. میگه که کشیش این کلیسا آخرین جایی که زنگ زد یه خانومی توی عضو این کلیسا بود که آن سمیت که زن دکتر بابو میشناخت. زن دکتر بابو میشناخت. و این خانومه گفت من زنگ میزنم به آن سمیت که زن دکتر بابه که دکتر بابو پیدا کنن برای بیل که توی هتله. Okay, and then what happened?
So this woman's name was Henrietta Sieberling. I know you can spell it, Henrietta Sieberling.
Yeah,
she was,
don't worry.
She was going through a divorce with her husband. They were very wealthy. And she was sent to she lived in the carriage house of this huge estate. And Bill talked to her and asked him if he could talk to this alcoholic. And so Henrietta called Anne.
میگه که so what does Henrietta have to do with Bill Wilson? Did he go live in the carriage house?
She was living, that's where she lived, in the carriage house of her husband's estate. That's just a point of reference.
Okay.
She talked to Bill. Bill was in the hotel payphone booth talking to Henrietta about this person.
Okay, allow me. این خانمی که این آخرین کلیسایی که بیربلسان زنگ زد که کشیشش گفت یه خانمی هست که زن دکتر بابا میشناسه. این خانم اسمش هنریتا بود. این هنریتا خیلی زن متمولی بود ولی میخواست از شوهرش طلاق بگیره و تو گاراژ خونهشون داشت زندگی میکرد و با بیل ویلسون صحبت کرد. And so Henrietta spoke to Bill Wilson and said that she's going to contact Ann Smith. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
What she did. And she called Bill back in the payphone and told him that she was so sorry, but this gentleman couldn't talk to him, wouldn't talk to him or couldn't talk to him. And that depressed Bill. He was saddened. He was about ready to find a train back to New York. And Henrietta called him back and said, the reason he can't see you is he's passed out in bed. But he will see you tomorrow morning. He will see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for 15 minutes.
Okay, میگه که هنریتا زنگ میزنه هتل، یعنی هنریتا بعد از اینکه زنگ میزنه به آن اسمیت، زن دکتر باب، زنگ میزنه به بیل ویلسون تو هتل، میگه که این نمیخواد تو رو ببینه، نمیتونه با تو حرف بزنه. و بیل ویلسون خیلی ناراحت میشه و خیلی دکوراژه میشه و میگه چرا نمیخواد با تو حرف بزنه؟ گفت برای اینکه پس افتاده، انقدر مست بوده دکتر بیل، دکتر باب، میگه این اصلا پس افتاده، اصلا یعنی یارو اصلا شده اصلا خوابیده پس افتاده از بس مست کرده. و این خیلی دکوراژه میکنه بیل ویلسونو. ولی هنریتا بهش میگه که دکتر باب گفته که من فردا در صبح یه رو با تو وقت میذارم، میام میبینم. اوکی، so basically دکتر باب sent a message to Bill Wilson that I will see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock for 15 minutes.
Dr. Bob was passed out, but Ann sent that message and Dr. Bob agreed.
Okay.
But only for 15 minutes.
Okay. میگه دکتر باب گفت من فقط 15 دقیقه یه ربات وقت میذارم فردا ده صبح. چون
So the 15 minutes turned into a 4-hour and 15-minute talk.
میگه که فردا صبح که دکتر باب میره بیل ویلسون رو ببینه بهش گفته بود من یه ربات وقت میذارم، گفت 4 ساعت و 1 رو با هم نشستن حرف زدن. So they spent 4 hours and 15 minutes talking to each other.
One alcoholic talking to another alcoholic.
یه الکلی با یه الکلی دیگه 4 ساعت و ربع با هم دیگه صحبت کرد.
What my first sponsor called, Homa, one beggar showing the other beggar where the bread is. One alcoholic showing another alcoholic where the spiritual sustenance is to save their life.
Right. میگه که یه گدا به یه گدای دیگه داشت یاد میداد نون کجا پیدا کنه. این یک اصطلاحه. بعد میگه که so you said میگه که هر دوشون این دوتا گداها که بیل ویلسون و دکتر باب باشن داشتن به هم دیگه غذای روحانی میدادن در واقع. Okay. Next.
So now we find Bob very attentive and very willing because he was at a state of hopelessness. And they allowed Henrietta got Bill a room at her country club to stay for an extended period to stay with Dr. Bob and help him in early sobriety.
Oh, خانم هنریتا که شیشه معرفی کرده بود که گفت خیلی متمبله، این خانم هنریتا برای بیل ویلسون عضو یک کلوپ شخصی بودن که حالا این کلوپ استخ داره، گفت همه نوع از سواری داره، چی داره و غیره. میگه خانم هنریتا برای بیل ویلسون یه اتاق اجاره میکنه توی این مجتمع خیلی شیک و مال متمولا بوده که بتونه بیل ویلسون بمونه که به دکتر باب کمک کنه. اوکی.
So they went about Bill took Bob to, there were active Oxford groups in Akron, Ohio, and Bill took Bob to the Akron groups while they were looking for other alcoholics to help because the only way they could save their life is helping other drunks.
میگه که دکتر باب شروع کرد بیلوزیستان رو بردن پیش الکلی های دیگه، چون که فقط با کمک کردن به یک الکلی دیگه است که ما پاک میمونیم. اوکی.
So Bob had one more drunk in him, unfortunately. He had a doctor's conference to go to in another city. He had to do it. He had to give a talk. So Bill stayed there in Akron and waited for him. And it didn't
okay,
go so well.
Let me translate this first, please. And then, میگه که دکتر باب باید میرفت یه کنفرانسی و بیل ویلسون میمونه تو اوهایو تا این بره کنفرانسش رو انجام بده و برگرد. Okay. So Dr. Bob goes to his conference.
He took a train to his conference, and somehow he was in a blackout and probably started drinking on the train and ended up in a city he'd never been in before on another train, never made the conference. And finally someone, a cab driver, he paid a cab driver to drive him all the way back to Akron.
میگه که دکتر باب سوار قطار شد که بره کنفرانسش، ولی به کنفرانس نرسید و توی یه سوار یه قطار دیگه شده بود که مست و پاتیل بود و نه به کنفرانس رفت، از یه قطار به یه قطار دیگه رفت، آخرش پول داد به یه تاکسی که این همه را برش گردونه به ایالت اوهایو و شهر اکرون پیش بیل ویلسون. اوکی.
So Bob got back and they got him sober again, never to drink again. And they spent a lot of time. Bill stayed there for a long time with Dr. Bob going into, Bob got permission to go into the hospitals where he was a physician. His reputation was tarnished, but they let him come in and talk to alcoholics with Bob, with Bill.
Okay. میگه که این آخرین باری بود که دکتر باب مست کرد و چون دکتر باب دکتر بود اجازه گرفت که با ویل ویلسون برن تو بیمارستان ها و با الکلی های دیگه صحبت کنه و پیام الکل و به الکلی های دیگه کمک کنه. اوکی.
So that started a relationship with the hospitals, one in particular, and into the picture comes a Catholic nun named Sister Ignatia.
Hang on, let me translate little by little. میگن که وقتی که okay, you spoke too much. I forgot what you said.
I'm
you said
so
that
sorry.
Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson started to carry the message to speak to other alcoholics in the hospital because Bob was a doctor, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got that.
He had, they because he was well known, they let him in.
میگه که چون دکتر بابا همه میشناختن و یه دکتر خیلی مشهور و خوبی بود، با بیل ویلسون شروع کردن، اجازه دادن که تو بیمارستان و تو بیمارستان متعدد شروع کنن با الکلیا صحبت کنن. And you said something about the sister. Who was that sister, the nun?
Sister Ignatia devoted her life to helping Bob after Bill went back to New York, working with Bob with all these drunks.
Okay.
She spent her whole life helping him.
Okay. میگه که بیل ویلسون مدت ها موند اوهایو پیش دکتر باب. ولی وقتی که بیل ویلسون برگشت سر خونه زندگیش تو نیویورک، یه خانم راهبه بود که این شروع کرد و تمام عمرش به دکتر باب کمک کرد که به الکلی های دیگه کمک کنن. Sister Ignatius.
Yes, Ignatia.
Ignatia اسمش بود، خواهر Ignatia. Okay.
So Bill and Bob, although they gained so much respect and help from the Oxford groups, they wanted a program that was all inclusive, that let anybody in, any race, any creed, any color, any religion. They wanted the AA to be for the masses with no exclusion, even the hopeless drunk that was angry.
میگه که بیل ویلسون و دکتر باب میخواستن از آکسفورد گروپ جدا بشن و و میخواستن یه برنامه ای را بندازن که همه بتونن بیان، سیاه، سفید، هر دینی، هر سنفی، هر اعتقادی، که همه ویلکام باشن، همه ویلکام، I forgot what welcome is. که همه چیز باشن، همه
همه خوشون،
همه همه چی بگو، آرش، آرش بگو ویلکام، همه خوش آمد بگه، به همه خوش و به همه جور سنفی خوش آمد بگه. خیلی ممنون، خودم یادم افتاد. اوکی باب، گو اهد.
So as an example, Bill got a letter from a gentleman in Tokyo.
Okay, hang on.
And the gentleman asked, we have a small group in Tokyo. Do we have to relinquish our Buddhism and become Christians in order to save our lives in sobriety with your AA?
Okay, میگه دکتر بیل ویلسون یا دکتر باب بود، نامه برایش، یه نامه میاد از یه آقای ژاپنی از ژاپن که ازش میپرسه که آیا ما باید، اینا بودایی بودن، میگه آیا ما باید بوداییمونو بذاریم زیر پامون و مسیحی بشیم که عضو این برنامه باشیم. اوکی، گو اهد.
So of course the answer was no, God as you understand God.
Yeah.
A faith that works for you, that'll help you save your life, is what we're looking for. You get to pick your own God.
So this and is so, Dr. Bill Wilson answering him, or Dr. Bob answering him?
This is Bill. The letter was to Bill.
Okay. نامه به بیل ویلسون بوده. میگه بیل ویلسون بهش جواب میده که نه. شما اون خدایی که خودت درک میکنی، اون خدایی که برای تو کار میکنه که بتونه به تو کمک کنه و تو رو نجات بده از این بیماری، این باید باشه. Okay.
So Bill got sober in 1985 and now in 1980, excuse me, 1935. And can you just imagine the amazing influence of Bill's higher power to be able to write this book, Alcoholics Anonymous, with 4 years sobriety in 1939? The divine intervention is huge.
Yes. میگه که بیل ویلسون سال 1935 پاک شد و سال 1939 با 4 سال پاکی شروع کرد این کتاب رو نوشتن و میگن که بهش الهام شد که این کتاب رو. I want to ask you a question. People say that Bill Wilson relapsed, he took LSD, and I said no, there was no medication for depression at that time. And he was just medicating for his depression. Did Bill Wilson relapse, Bob?
I will tell you succinctly, and I mentioned this yesterday, Homa, and I'll tell you, and you can translate it. From my first sponsor told me, alcohol is a drug, and I believe him. Its basic ingredients are water and ether. So Bill was taking. It's in the book. He took sedatives to try to calm himself down while he was drinking. Okay. Now sedatives is just a nicer word for opiates, right?
Yes, sir.
So yes, Bill was a drug addict and an alcoholic.
And I can
relate to that. But when he got sober, when he got sober in town hospital, do you want to say that first or do you want me to finish?
چون الستی خورد، گفتش که زمانی که بیل ویلسون مشروب میخورد، دارو هم میخورد، برای اینکه دارو هم همه داروهای اوپیت یعنی که تریاک چی میگن، اون تمام اون محصولات نشجات دیگه، تریاک
افیون
داریم دیگه، که برای اینکه آدم مضطربی بود، زمانی هم که مشروب میخورد دارو میخورد. اوکی، گو اهد باب.
So to clarify, when Bill was being treated by Dr. Silkworth in town hospital,
yes,
he was going through a process called the belladonna experiment.
What's a belladonna experiment?
Acid. LSD. To the doctor,
Yeah.
it was not illegal then. They were trying to find a chemical that would bounce the brain into some kind of reality and help them with their alcoholism.
که میگن که زمانی که اون زمان داشتن امتحان میکردن با ماده به نام بلادانا که همون اسیده LSDه میگه What was
Okay.
the purpose
Oh.
to find what? What was the purpose of Belladonna?
These doctors were experimenting with these drugs to try to find some kind of a cure. Shock treatments were something else that they did. Something
a cure for what?
To juggle the brain into being losing the obsession for the drink, for the alcohol.
Oh, okay. میگه که برای اینکه وسوسه الکل رو شروع کردن یه سری این داروی LSD رو امتحان کردن و دادن به بیل ویلسون برای اینکه میخواستن یه جوری این بیماری الکلیسم رو کنترل کنن و در واقع رو بیل ویلسون امتحان کردن و اون موقع LSD فقط یه دارو بود به عنوان ماده مخدر حساب نمیشد چون تازه شروع کرده بودن اینو کشف کرده بود اوکی
So of course that was a complete failure. However, during that experiment, he had that white light experiment, that light experience where the room went all white and he dropped to his knees and started praying and crying. That was his spiritual awakening,
in the
regardless of
hospital.
Whether it was manufactured or not.
Okay, in town hospital or when they were
in
doing
town
this
hospital, yes.
میگه
in
زمانی که
بیل
ویلسون توی بیمارستان تاون بود که بره برای ترک الکل اونجا نور دید یه نوری دید که اونجا زانو زد و دعا کرد و بیداری روحانی اونجا براش اتفاق افتاد. So how does this relate to this LSD treatment?
Well, it's very possible. The LSD treatment was the Belladonna experiment. That was the Belladonna experiment. So if he was on an acid trip,
yeah.
when he had the white light experience,
right.
whatever works for you, right?
میگه چون بهش اسید دادن LSD دادن نور دیده یعنی داشته نشه بوده و از طرف خدایی چی نبوده این نشه بوده و نور میبینه من خودم هم اسید زدم میدونم داستان چیه و این اونجاست که زانو میزنه و میبینه خدا رو دیده در واقع این نبوده نشه جات بوده و این اوکی thank you
so I have not got much more time. Some of us are blessed with having spiritual experiences, and others get it from the educational variety. When we hear people talking at meetings and conferences, when we hear one another talk, when we see actions that one another take that are of a spiritual nature that are not common for us.
میگه که هر کسی به بیداری روحانی نمیرسه. ما یه سری از بیداری های روحانی منو با رفتن تو جلسه و گوش کردن به دیگران متوجه میشیم بیداری روحانی چیه. Okay.
And so since you have such a great command of the English language, being a Californian, I tried to explain my spiritual experience yesterday. You can understand that I think better, because I'm going to probably wrap this talk up now. It's the early years of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I had struggled deeply trying to be able to do steps 2 and 3. I could not conceive of some of the miracles they call miracles in the Christian faith being possible.
میگن که من مشکل داشتم با این بیداری روحانی و خدایی که خودت درک میکنی میگن که هی میخواستم اینو برای خودم یه جوری جمع کنم و نمیتونستم. اوکی. You know what? You spoke a long time without giving me a chance to translate, so you're going to have to repeat yourself, honey.
I did, dear. I'm sorry. I know that. So, I had no sufficient substitute for alcohol. Only the loving people in Alcoholics Anonymous, the men and women that were supporting me. I had no God in my life.
من اصلا خدای تو زندگیم نداشتم. من تنها چیزی که داشتم تو زندگیم محبت یه سری الکلی های بودن که تو اتاقای الکلی های گمنام بودن. اوکی.
I came to you in 1981 and it took me 2.5 years to start my journey in continuous sobriety in 1983.
میگه که من سال 1981 وارد AA شدم ولی تا سال 1983 طول کشید تا پاک بشم و میگه من همیشه با قدم یک و دو مشکل داشتم. اوکی.
Bill wrote that when we are living with untreated alcoholism, we live in three emotions, excitement.
میگه که بیل نوشت که ما see, he wrote that we live in three emotions, right?
Right.
میگه بیل ویلسون نوشت که ما همیشه در سه تا احساس هستیم. در سه مرحله هستیم. What are they?
Excitement, anxiety, and depression.
هیجان، استراب و افسردگی. ما همیشه در این سه حالت هستیم. هیجان، استراب و افسردگی. Okay.
So the only thing I was doing right was showing up every day, sometimes twice a day. But I could not or would not. I was trying to figure out the God thing instead of just seeking God.
میگه که من به جای که دنبال خدا باشم همش دنبالش میگشتم. اوکی.
So I was going to a retreat. I had 3 months sobriety.
میگه من 3 ماه پاکی داشتم و روزی 2 تا جلسه میرفتم و تصمیم گرفت بری یک کنفرانس. اوکی. You went to a retreat for what?
To join my AA friends in December of 1983 for a spiritual retreat. It wasn't a religious retreat. It was an AA retreat.
Okay, let me translate. میگه که من با دوستای الکلیم رفتم یک کنفرانسی یک دو سه روز مثلا جمع میشن دور هم که اونجا هر پرو از روحانیت و دنبال قدرت موفق میگشتم. اوکی.
I was not having a good day, Homa.
میگه روز خوبی اصلا خوش نمیگذشت.
I was treating people poorly and I couldn't drink it away and I was upset with myself because I had yelled at my employees. So go ahead.
میگه که حالم خوب نبود، با همه دعوا میکردم، سر کارمندام هم داد زده بودم قبل از که برم و اوکی.
So I had a plan. I was going to get the key to my room and go to dinner with my friends and sneak out and buy a half pint to take the edge off.
میگه که من تصمیم گرفتم که با بچه‌هایی که رفته بودم بریم این برای این مجتمع این کنفرانس باهاش شام برم بیرون بعدم مشروب بخرم ببرم تو اتاقم. که حالش خوب نبود. خدا رم قبول نداشت، خدا رم باور نداشت. اوکی.
When I shared this story I'm going to tell you with the Jesuit priest who ran the retreat the next day, he said, Bob, we call those coincigods. God-inspired coincidences. Maybe a coincidence, who knows? But it was something that knocked me to my knees, and I'll just try to tell you quickly. Go ahead.
میگه که با کشیشی که اون اینجا که رفته بودن یک کلیسایی بود که اینا رفته بودن مثلا برای دو سه روز با چند نفر که دنبال خدا بودن و در مورد خدا حرف بزنن و برای نه با خدا رو نداشت و خدا قبول نداشت و دنبال بیداری روحانی میگشت و میخواست مشروب بخوره ولی با کشیش اونجا که صحبت کرد کشیش گفت که این خدا دخالت کرده. یعنی یک اصطلاحی بعد الان استفاده کرد که با فارسی نمیشه ترجمه کرد. Coincigod, right? یعنی اینکه خدا این وسط دخالت کرد توی این موضوع که این میخواست بره مشروب بخره بخوره. Okay, and then what happened?
Well, that's a kind of a corny word, but it works for me. So I got my key to my room. It was a very large dormitory, and one side of it looked out over this beautiful pastoral field, and the other side looked on a hill, which would be significant to many, but meant nothing to me because it wound through the stations of the cross and the Christian faith, which meant nothing to me anymore.
میگه که اینجایی که بودم منظره داشت، یه طرفش سبز بود و زیبا بود و جنگل بود، یک طرفش هم پر از صلیب بود که من اصلا برای من ارزش نداشت، من اصلا باور نمی کردم، ایمان نداشتم. اوکی.
So as I had my luggage I was pulling and I stopped and I just said, you know, if you're up there, whatever you are, you've given me this unmerited gift by getting me sober, but I can't stand myself. I need a drink. Could you just show me a sign, any sign?
میگه که برگشت به خدا گفت، گفتش که من حالم خیلی بده و همش میخوام مشروب بخورم. به من نشون بده. شوی و سن بقال به من خودتو نشون بده، حالم خیلی بده، میخوام مشروب بخورم. اوکی.
So I tried to keep it simple and I just said, how about a room with a view?
میگه خلاصه یه جوک گفت به خدا.
So I trudged up the stairs to the second floor and I opened the door. And my translator yesterday didn't understand that there are odd numbers and even numbers. And the rooms on the right, the rooms were, it was 20 deep. It was a very large dormitory. The rooms on the right were odd numbers. And the rooms on the left were even numbers, like 2 and then 3. Go ahead.
میگه که به خدا گفت به من یک علامت نشون بده. میخواست یه چیزی خدا بهش به پیام بده. میگه که وقتی که وارد ساختمون شدم، این مجتمع کلیسا یا حالت پانسیون بود دیگه، پانسیون بود و یه طرف اتاقای سمت راست شمارا فرد بودن، یه طرف هم راه شمارا زوج بودن. اوکی.
I must say that in this moment, it's important to know that my desperation was screaming louder than my ego.
تو این لحظه ناتوانی من دادش بیشتر بود، صداش بلندتر بود تا نفس من، چون حالش بد بود، میخواست مشروب بخوره. اوکی.
So I noticed that immediately my key matched with the odd numbers that looked out over the hillside I wasn't looking for. And I said, well, maybe next time.
میگه که به خدا گفت من یه اتاق میخوام که منظره داشته باشه. میگه کلید انداختم در اتاقم باز کردم و منظره داشت. So what happened after you opened the key, the room?
So I went to the end of the hall and I ran out of odd numbers. I thought I was on the wrong floor. But as I turned to go back to the door, to go down a floor, the last room on the left was the only odd number. Every other room was an even number. 19 even numbers and my odd number. It was my number.
میگه که تمام این راه رو طی کرد، دنبال اتاقش میگشت و آخرین در دنبال شماره اتاقش میگشت و پیدا نمیکرد، تا اینکه رفت تا ته راه رو و گفتم یه طرف شماره فرد بوده، یه طرف زوج، و شماره ایشون فرد بود و بغل زوجا بود، ته ته. برای همین بعد این به خدا گفت به من نشون بده که هستی، وجود داری. اگه هستی، من میخوام اتاقی که هستم توش منظره زیبا داشته باشه. کلیدو میندازه، درو باز میکنه، میبینه منظره در اتاقش. اوکی، گو اهد.
So I started getting chills like I do every time I say this story and I opened my door And my God didn't want to just give me a room with a view. He wowed me with glass all around. It was a corner room.
میگه که هر دفعه این داستان رو تعریف میکنم تمام موهای تنم سرخ میشه. میگه که خدا یه اتاق به من داد، نه فقط یه منظره باشکوه، ولی همه جا مثلا یه طرف اتاق همش شیشه بود، یعنی انقدر زیبا بود منظره که یه دیوار نکشیده بودن، شیشه گذاشته بودن به خاطر منظره. اوکی.
And in that moment, I dropped to my knees and I started sobbing like a little baby. And in that moment, I had a complete change in my reaction to life.
میگه که هم اون لحظه که وارد اتاق شدم رفتم رو زانوام شروع کردم گریه کردن و اصلا دید من نسبت به زندگی و خدا عوض شد. اوکی.
Coincidence? I don't know. I don't think coincidence. So once I had that, all that anxiety from life washed off of me. And as long as I nurture that by helping others, and I sponsor many men, as long as I'm somewhere sitting down with an AA book and a 12 and 12 between me and another person with a highlighter in their hand and a pen in their hand, I read to them. And the reason I read to them, I'm not a wonderful reader, but I couldn't quiet my brain enough to understand what I'd read after three pages because it was too full of negativity.
What was full of negativity? The book?
My mind. I talked too long again. I'm sorry, Homer.
Yeah, can you backtrack and go a little slower so I can translate? Thank you.
What gives me great joy today
میگه
and for
چیزی
many
که به من
years
شادی میده امروز. Okay.
Is when I'm in a room, just me and another drunk.
من با یه الکلی دیگه.
With the AA book open, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, or 12 and 12, with a highlighter in their hand, and I read to them.
Okay, wait. میگه که چیزی که به من شادی میده امروز اینه که بشینم توی اتاق با یه الکلی دیگه با کتاب AA یا 12-12 یه خودکار تو دستش باشه و من براشون میخونم کتابو. Okay. And you read the book to them.
I read the book to them not because I'm a good reader, but because I remember back all those years ago when I tried to read to myself and I would read six pages and stop when I didn't remember one thing I read. Because the boogeyman was full of my head.
میگه که من کتابو براشون میخونم به خاطر اینکه زمانی که خودم کتابو میخوندم یهو میدیدم 5 صفحه 6 صفحه خوندم و هیچی نفهمیدم و هیچی متوجه نشدم برای اینکه کلم مشغول بود. برای اینکه کلش دور برمی داشت. Okay.
So my time is at an end. I want to leave you with this. I am still very alcoholic. I still have a keen alcoholic mind.
من هنوز خیلی الکلی هستم و طرز فکرم هم خیلی الکلیه.
And by nature, by genetics, I have an edge to me that I have to pray my way out of daily.
میگه من edge یعنی که how do you say it? میگه که من یعنی یک جایی هستیم این بیماری یک خطکشی داره که من باید
I have an unsatisfied mind.
آره من هیچ وقت راضی نیستم. هیچ وقت فکرم راضی نیست. هیچ وقت سپاسگزار نیستم. راضی نیستم. و تنها علاجش اینه که با دعا اینجا رو ساکت کنم. با دعا اینجا رو ساکت کنم.
So I was in a grocery store a few years ago. Going along, trying to find the shortest line so I could check out and not have to wait.
میگه من توی سوپرمارکت بودم و تو آمریکا سوپرمارکت ها مثلا 5 تا 6 تا صندوق هست. میگه توی سوپرمارکت میگشتم که هر صفی که از همه کوتاه‌تره برم تو اون صف وایسم که بتونه حساب کنه. Okay.
I was in a hurry to go nowhere, but I had to be at the head of the line.
میگه عجله داشتم چون هیچ جام قرار نبود برم، ولی میخواستم جلوی همه باشم، جلوی صف باشم.
And so I'm in a line of three people, and the woman who checked us out obviously had to go to the bathroom.
میگه که سه نفر من توی یه صف رفتم که سه نفر جلوم بودن و خانومی که پشت صندوق وایساده بود باید میرفت دستشویی. Okay.
So I'm, she says, I'm a, please, she told the man in back me to pull the cord back so nobody else would get in the line. And as soon as she finished with us, she was going to go take care of it.
So you said what?
She had to go to the bathroom, and the man in back of me, she asked to pull a cord.
So nobody comes back. Okay.
So nobody comes, yes.
اوکی میگه میخواست بره دستشویی و اون مردی که پشت سر من بود بهش گفت تناب رو ببنده که دیگه کسی نیاد تو صف وایسه. Honey, we have to wrap up soon, okay?
Gonna be quick.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, I hope she takes care of me before she leaves. And the guy in back of me says, go take care of your business. Take care of him and go take care of your business. I have nowhere to go. I'll be here when you get back.
میگه که من همه فکرم این بود که قبل از که بره دستشویی اول کار منو راه بندازه، چون همش به فکر خودش بود. Right. میگه که کسی که پشت من وایساده بود به زنه میگه که از این آقا به این آقا برس، این حساب کنه، بعد برو دستشویی. من هیچ عجله‌ای ندارم. کسی که پشت سرش وایساده بود. Okay.
And she argued and said, I can't, it's against the rules. And he said, well, I'm going to be here when you get back, so you might as well go take care of yourself. And I'm thinking, why can't that be me?
میگه که مرد زنه که پشت صندوق وایساده بود که میخواست حساب کنه گفت من نمیتونم، من باید قانون این شرکت و این سوپرمارکت رو باید رعایت کنم. میگه من وقتی گوش کردم به مردی که پشت سرم بود که برگشت به خانمه گفتش که تو برو دستشویی بعد بیا با من اینجا وای میسم برات، منتظرت میشم. میگه من به خودم فکر کردم چرا من نمیتونم مثل این مرده باشم، چون الکلی عجله داره و همش همه چی فوکس رو خودشه که من کار من باید فوری را بیفته. اوکی گو هد.
Why can't that be me? But it can be me if I practice that being me. If I practice being kind to people and thinking kind thoughts rather than always putting myself ahead of the line.
میگه که من زمانی میتونم مثل اون برد باشم که مهربون باشم، به همه مهربون باشم، با همه مهربون رفتار کنم. و so you said by being kind to everybody you can be that man in the line.
Exactly. I practice being that man.
میگه من تمرین میکنم که مثل اون مرده باشم که متین بود، عجله نداشت و به فکر دیگران بود به جای اینکه به فکر خودش باشه. اوکی.
So I am on a life, we are all on a lifetime reconstruction project, a self reconstruction project.
میگه ما در یک زندگی هستیم که دائما باید خودمون رو بازسازی کنیم. بازسازی زندگیمون، بازسازی بشه خودمون، زندگیمون همش بازسازیه.
It's my job to expunge all the learned behaviors that were not principled behaviors in my life and replace them with kindness.
میگه که من وظیفمه تمام رفتارهایی که مثبت نبوده و منفی بوده و به شخصیت امروز من نمیخوره، همه اینا رو باید از خودم بندازم دور. Okay, so you expunged all this from your life, from your character?
One day at a time, I try, but if I don't keep God close, it all comes back.
میگه که هر روز، یعنی فقط برای امروز، میگه ولی باید خدا رو نزدیک داشته باشم، با خدا رابطه داشته باشم که بتونم این شخصیت و این تغییرات اتفاق بیفته. They're telling okay, me to shut it.
That's enough out of me. I want to tell you that it's been a pleasure these last 2 weeks being able to meet you. I hope I meet some of you in person or back on Zoom as we trudge this road together. Until then, I will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
میگن که خیلی خوشحالم که این مدت با شما آشنا شدم و امیدوارم در این انجمن همدیگر رو باز ببینیم. امیدوارم با شما از نزدیک آشنا بشم یک روز و خیلی تشکر کردم. I love you, Bob. Thanks for your message.
Love you, Homa. Arish, good to meet you. Good to talk to you.
آرش جان از شما خداحافظی میکنم.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks.
And observable. Thank you.